appreciate the band. Singing gave me courage. Sometimes there's sermons you don't want to preach. This is one. There's a saying that we have around here we try to use as far as our leadership and as far as how we go, and it's smooth waters never made for skillful sailors. Smooth waters never made for skillful sailors. In other words, to get what you need to get in this life, you're going to hit rough times, you're going to hit rough passages, you're going to have difficulties. And those difficulties have a reason in God's economy. Those difficulties have a purpose in training, in helping to get where God wants you to be. I was reading a devotional the other day that said it's the ones who stay at the rivers and the ponds and the creeks, they never see the risk of being out in the ocean, but they never know the depths and the beauty and the power of it either. And so it's in, this message is called Don't Fret. Do not fret, but trust the Lord. And it's in line with that. One of the Psalms, Psalms 34:19, says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The message today is about how do you respond to adversity? How do you respond to afflictions? And it's very personal for us as a church today. How are we going to respond to adversity? How are we going to respond to the afflictions that happen in this world that we live in? In Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8, is where we're going to take our message. It says this, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for how you are our Savior, and we are those who stand still in the need of being helped, saved, sanctified, brought through. You're the only one we have. So Lord, we come to you and ask that you would help us in this time as we deal with adversity and affliction. Help us, Father, to choose our response to be God-honoring, to follow you, to lift you up, and help us not to get caught in the negativity that so easily ensnares our hearts, minds, and souls. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two responses that God outlines in this psalm. The one he outlines by way of warning, and the other he outlines by way of instruction. One's negative, one's positive. The one is a warning against becoming negative in our response to affliction, to trials, to adversity. He gives three categories that this happens: fretting, anger, and wrath. Fretting, anger, and wrath. He really emphasizes fretting. Three times in this passage it says, do not fret. Do not fret. do not fret. Fret is an old-fashioned word for worrying. You know, just getting to where all the meditation of our heart, all the focus of our mind and our effort keep mulling over the same bad circumstance or the same problem or the same trial, and like a dog with a chew toy, we can't let it go. And we just keep focused on it. That's that idea of fretting. It's just really a negative meditation. It says, cease from anger. Verse 8, cease from anger is the other response. That idea of anger is that violent lashing out. There has to be, this happened, an affliction happened, I was hurt, therefore I must hurt. There's a saying in meetings that I've attended that hurt people hurt people. And it's because there's an anger that is allowed to manipulate and to override our thinking, and it jabs and it dices and it puts things out there. The last word on this negative response is wrath. It's probably the scariest of them all. Wrath has the sense of something that's on a boil. It's boiling. It's tumultuous. It's growing. And eventually it bursts out, and it's not just a necessarily a tongue lashing or this or that, but it really can take us to the point where we are wanting vengeance or really going to exact punishment or payment on someone. Whenever we get into trouble, not that we brought the trouble, but when there's troubling circumstances or adversity, sometimes it's very natural to feel all of these things, to feel some anger, to feel worry, to even allow things to boil up. God's warning us and saying that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to handle it. It's not the way to go forward. He says very plainly in verse 8, do not fret. After he says the whole thing, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. That's not the way for God's people to respond to adversity. He instructs us on the other side, on the positive side, he instructs his people to embrace the relationship they have with him when adversity comes, when trials arise. It's not so much that now we just don't get negative, but we also don't stay in neutral. Neutral is impossible. You can't be in neutral. You're going to choose one or the other. You know, you're going to make a choice. The positive is to embrace the relationship with the Lord. All these words are relational words. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. All these things end in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight in your Lord. Commit to the Lord. Be patient and wait on the Lord. All this puts the Lord at the place where our focus goes. You know, as Christians, as believers, our life is not dependent on anyone but the Lord. In that sense, He has bought us. We are not our own. In this life, we'll have bumps for sure, adversities, afflictions, trials, and troubles. But He bought for us not only our soul, but made a place for us in heaven. He is the one who has us secure in every facet of our lives, and we're to depend on Him. Those are the two responses. God's warning against negativity, fretting, anger, and wrath. God's instruction to embrace trusting Him, which this whole book, the first 41 verses of the book of Psalms, one of the great themes in it is how we trust the Lord in adversity. This same section, the same 41 verses, have a lot of lamenting psalms. Sad things have happened. In this psalm, it's seen that the wicked are prospering. It doesn't seem to make sense. And yet, we trust in the Lord amidst those things. And the Lord shows Himself trustworthy. Like I read in Psalm 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, he's retelling Moses is retelling of the law, and he's retelling of all the stuff that happened. All the wilderness walking, all these things that happened, and they weren't good things. You know, it wasn't this happy trails to you in the wilderness following after God, even though he was very present, very visible. But he says this, I showed you my glory. I manifested my glory. It wasn't a manifesting of God's glory on the mountaintop. There was a mountain, but it wasn't the kind of mountaintop we think of. I mean, there was fire. It was a fearful thing to see the glory of the Lord. Nonetheless, he showed that to them amidst the struggles. And our aim amidst struggles ought to be the same, to pursue God's glory, to pursue him in all these things. Now, some of you may be saying, hey, he said this is personal. It's talking to us. And it is. We have a trial that we have to overcome as a church family, and there's also individuals as families that have to overcome this. We've come to a place of financial impasse. Based on our finances, we no longer can support the positions of children and youth pastor or worship pastor. What that means is that we are no longer able to keep employed here, Kirby Slayton and Van Franklin. And we know that those two men don't come alone, that they have families who have blessed us also. So that means that our adversity as a church is saying, because of financial situations, because of the financial realities, that we have to say goodbye to Rhonda and Kirby and Vicky and Van. This isn't something that, one, it's not something that was taken lightly. It is not something that was sought after. It's not something that's going to be anything but a trial to overcome. For us as a church family, you know, there's a reason why we're not having children's church. You know, for the older kids. And frankly, until we get some things settled, I don't know when we'll be able to. You know, we have to get a team to figure some of those things out. There's holes that need to be filled. And it's not going to be easy. Both of these men, I love them. Considered friends and brothers to me. This past week, after this decision was made, and it needed to be made. It wasn't made by me alone. It wasn't a matter of somebody saying, we're just doing this. It was a matter of, again, financial impasse to say, this is, we can't continue this way. That's not new. That's not new either. A decision had to be made by us before it was made for us by things that were outside and decision makers who are outside this church body. I asked y'all, you know, Caleb asked me, Caleb Stokely said, why are we wearing the red shirts? And it's been a while, and I've asked people to wear the red shirts because Kirby designed these red shirts. We became known in this community. I was talking to Joel Ingram. He said, I remember when y'all were at the Jubilee and it looked like an army had taken over. You know, we were in force in our red shirts. There's many things that we're going to miss. You know, there's many things, we're going to miss the people. But again, there's going to be holes and things that also are there. But in this, we have an option. It seems like the biggest danger that God presents in this psalm is worry. We could try to worry our way out of this, but worry don't get us out of this. Worry doesn't work us forward. Worry doesn't glorify God. Worrying doesn't mean you're holy. Worrying is ineffective. This passage literally says, this is the word of God, do not fret, it only causes harm. This isn't the uninspired part of the word of God. know there's questions, and we're going to look to answer them. I know personally those families have questions as far as, you know, what's next? What are we going to do? And I know they need our prayer. But we need to decide, all of us, that we need to pursue the Lord even in this. And as our band sang earlier, blessed be His name when there's pain in the offering. Blessed be His name in times of suffering. This doesn't change who God is. This doesn't change what the mission of Christ Community Church is. This doesn't change what we're going after. It does change how we're going to do it. It does change what can be, you know, as far as a commitment level from, you know, what we had folks dedicated to doing that are now not able to do that. Some of those things, like I said, we're not going to be able to just pick right back up. But we need to get back on the horse, and we're probably going to need teams of people to fill those places. Again, like I said, these are friends of mine. Van has been my friend for a lot of years. You don't want to hurt your friends or their families. All I can say to you again is this wasn't done based on who this was. This wasn't based on what they had done. This was based on it's not sustainable. The three of us had looked at this at the end of last year, not knowing when this would hit, but knowing that if nothing changed, something radical was going to change. With that being said, I want us to give an opportunity, one, to give a love offering. In that love offering, if you want to write a check and designate it to one or the other, that's fine, just write it to them. If you want your money to be split, just put it in the plate and it'll be divided accordingly to how that will work. But we also want to have an opportunity to say thank you to them, to tell them that we love them, and tell them goodbye. Now, listen, I say that, it's goodbye from the role they're in. They're welcome here. There's nothing that was done that makes them unwelcome here. There's nothing that was done that makes them not trust them here. They're not being fired for disgruntledness or anything like that. There's no reason for them not to be able to come when they would like to come, or as they come to get maybe things that are up here. There's no reason for them to have chaperone. Or we've trusted our children. We've trusted the most precious things among us with these men, and we have no reason to do any different. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, so I say we're saying goodbye to them, but it's just the relationship as it has been is changing. But that doesn't mean, again, that we don't ever have to see them or that they're not welcome here. They are welcome here. This is not a reflection on the job that they've done. Matter of fact, I've spent most of this past week going to teenagers who weren't teenagers 6 years ago. They're teenagers now. You know who went to bat for them and who taught them and took them to supper and took them places and taught them how to do things? You know, Kirby and Rhonda walked right with them. Just like a children's and youth pastor, just like you're supposed to do. He's impacted a lot of folks. And I get that. I know it. So this isn't in any way to say shame on them or we don't like them. It's to say we love you. We wish it didn't have to hurt. We wish it didn't have to happen. So at the end of this service, after the offering, I don't know where y'all would be comfortable to stand to let people say something to you, or if that's even your desire. I don't know. It would be open up here if y'all would like to say goodbye and meet people. We can buy another box of napkins for the children home, or Kleenex rather. But if the ushers would come forward now to take the love offering. After this, you all, that'd be it. That'll conclude our service for today. Everything's going on schedule for the rest of the time. Wednesday service and so on. It's going to be at 6:30. Next Sunday, a week from today, at the end of service, we're going to have a church finance meeting that's open to the whole church. We have the different reports, the update on the land, just where. Again, I know a lot of this decision brings up questions along that line too, and there's going to be answers. We're going to talk about that a week from today. Today is just about saying thank you to these men who are our friends and our brothers. Thank you to them and their family for how they served here, how God used them. And I trust that God used our church also to be a blessing to them in a time. And so that's what this time is now, okay? Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for, again,